Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 27th of October, recording at 9:24 p.m. And yes, it's still British summertime for a few more days. Now, first the highlights here today on an exceptionally exciting day. First, Asian stock markets were generally quite firm. And European stock markets roared higher here today. We've got gains of, gosh, the French CAC 6%. Actually, the Euro Stoxx Index was up over 6%. And DAX up 5.35. Gives you an idea of the type of strength that we've seen in Europe today. Probably the weakest was Switzerland, which was only, he says, up 2.15%. In the Americas, we had good gains as well, but mostly in the upper 3% category. Brazil up 3.72, and but the U.S., which is such a huge influence on global sentiment. And we've got the S&P up 42.5 points. It takes it up to 1284 and change. That was up 3.43%. And the NASDAQ is testing its high for the year. It was up nearly 88 points, and that was up 3.32%. So we've had terrific strength in stock markets. Against that background, you would not be surprised to hear that long-dated government bond prices slumped, so yields rose sharply. In commodities, gold started off the day a little bit to the downside because this was not a fear trade day, but then picked up just on the general increase in optimism, and gold had a good day. Currently, after hours, trading at 1742 and change. That's up nearly $18. Silver had an even better day today. It's currently at 3504. That's up 1.73. But the bigger percentage gains probably were platinum and palladium, both very strong today. All of the industrial commodities that I saw, with the exception of natural gas, were higher today. And I see, I think white sugar was down, but everything else was, that's the UK contract, but everything else was higher in the foods. So, heck of a move in here today. Did I mention currencies? The euro up to 141.88. That's quite something. Bit of short covering there. And sterling, where are you, sterling? Back up to 161. The Aussie dollar back up to 107 against the greenback. And we've had a big sharp rebound by the Asian dollar index in those regional currencies. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, let's start with the whole Europe story. And as far as I'm concerned, that today's market verdict really provides further evidence that the Eurozone is past the nadir of its sovereign debt and bank insolvency crisis. I've been saying in these audios for the last week or so that the key question was, when would it lose its capacity to shock? And in a negative sense, well, this was a bit of a shock today, but more in a positive sense, in that the package was bigger than mentioned, but more on that in a moment. What I want to comment additionally is that when we consider the background here, because we've spent a number of weeks, if not several months, when there was so much negative publicity about Europe. We had endless stories and lots of predictions, some from heavyweight financial types, a fair number of them indeed, talking about a breakup of the euro. And we also had just as many people talking about Greece being thrown out of the single currency. And then, I remember, and I've mentioned this in several audios, there was that bizarre report that came in, which said that Germany had been printing Deutschmarks, hell for leather, new Deutschmarks, and was about to abandon the euro. Well, when I read that, I didn't believe it, but I checked it against some of my Bavarian economist subscriber friends, and they poured cold water on that, and they would know. Now, we also heard that Europe was going to experience its Lehman moment writ large. In other words, much, much bigger than that crisis, which marked a huge deterioration in sentiment in 2008 in the stock markets. Now, I think what we can say now is that all of these stories have proved to be unfounded. Now, that doesn't mean they're unfounded for all time. Let's just say that they're unfounded for at least as far as the eye can actually see, for at least the foreseeable future. Now, what I want to return to, of course, with this package, which on initial impression seems larger than people were forecasting, and larger than I was expecting as well. And the point is here that we know that the devil's in the detail for most political agreements, and not least this one. And we also know that there are many unanswered questions. For instance, how is the EU going to conjure up the 1.4 trillion of European financial stability, of the funds for the European Financial Stability Facility, the so-called EFSF, to use the acronym. And I think partly with the help of smoke and mirrors, in my view, because they haven't got all the details in place, and they obviously hope that they won't have to draw on all that money. How will Europe's, another question is, how will Europe's banks raise the $150 billion approximately plus capital adequacy funds, which they actually require? Well, they say they're going to raise it themselves, but it hasn't been raised yet. Other questions, when will Italy's farcical government live up to Berlusconi's paper pledges? That's certainly an important question and of considerable concern to Angela Merkel and Nicolas Sarkozy. And then how will Greece and other deeply indebted European economies actually grow their economies? And these are all extremely important questions. But let's take our cue here from markets. Markets were expecting the worst. Markets were fearing that we would get a contagion spreading from Euroland that would cause a global depression. And I'm not just making any of this up, as you're probably well aware. I was annoyed on a number of occasions to be woken up at about 7 o'clock in the morning by CNBC in India to ask me that very question: Was Euroland going to drag down the entire global economy, including the Asian region? Well, no, I thought when I managed to take those calls. I don't, and I don't in here today. Now, Europe has certainly had the mother of all wake-up calls in the last few months and longer. So we know the commitment that the politicians have shown, and they're backed by businesses within the region, if not all the voters who aren't going to be questioned anyway on these packages. Now, so we know the commitment to maintaining the Euro project. There is no one in the political arena today who is not aware of the flaws in the Euro's makeup and the flaws in their economic policies that have led to very poor growth. So they've got a little bit of breathing space to address all this. Will they address it? Well, we'll see, but I would have thought they have every incentive to do so over time. And they may surprise us pleasantly. But even if Europe just bumbles along for the next 10 years in the same old boring fashion that it had in the previous decade, then that would be fine for the world, and global GDP growth, I think, would again be led by Asia, and be quite strong, and with the USA almost certainly outperforming Europe. But Europe may go one better than that, and I wouldn't write off that possibility. Now, what about this global stock market picture here? Owen and I have been saying for several weeks now, and really from the beginning, we were looking for calling this a short, sharp bear market, taking the leading market indices. Some have been in much longer sustained bear market moves. The periphery countries in Europe, for instance, China with its big squeeze and all the new issues has been in a bear market for considerably longer. But for Wall Street, which is the key psychologically, I maintain, the key leash effect, this was a short, sharp bear market. We had a ranging consolidation, sort of a medium-term correction that then turned into a rout in August. But that was pretty much it. And we've been saying that those August-September lows really ought to be the region, not necessarily the exact level, but the region of the lows. Well, I think that the evidence that we've seen in here with today's additional powerful contribution, to me, provides, we've seen enough strength to make the call that one can only, I think, make with hindsight, that yes, we now have confirmation that the floor is in. It's looked like it for a while, but you don't have confirmation until well after the event. And so what I'm saying is that, and what Owen and I feel, is that the cyclical bear market that we were experiencing is definitely over. And therefore, we're now back into a cyclical bull phase, and that's probably going to continue for a while. We saw a meltdown with the help of high frequency trading, and we're now seeing a melt up, and I think it'll probably continue. We'll pause from time to time with consolidations, but I'm prepared to be surprised, pleasantly surprised on the upside in this environment, because there's a lot of money on the sidelines, and these markets have been prone to strong momentum moves in both directions, and not least due to the high frequency trading. And I think we can also see why this market, this bull phase, will run into trouble once again. And this is going to sound like deja vu all over again, to quote the immortal Yogi Berra. And that will be because commodity price inflation heats up once again. Commodities are bounding higher along with stock markets. And we've seen, for instance, WTI crude oil today. It's trading at $93.83. I think we've got the Brent back up to $114. So it wouldn't take too much more to the upside. Hopefully it takes a while for this to happen, but these prices are moving back up towards levels. They're not there yet, towards levels that would cause more problems for the global economy. So we got the reset that I was talking about in terms of commodity prices, but as confidence continues to improve, don't be surprised if we see a scramble for commodities. I think we're already seeing a scramble for commodities, and is very consistent with the secular bull market for this sector that we've talked about. Well, now, what about precious metals? And the technical action's been good. Don't be surprised to be surprised on the upside. I think that's really my theme for today in here. We're going to get lots of surprises to the upside in these markets. One of them that will not be to the upside will be government bond prices. These have weakened, and it'll take all of Mr. Bernanke's buying of those longer-dated U.S. treasuries to keep them up in their current range and to prevent yields from moving higher quite sharply. How exciting! What about the U.S. dollar? Well, it's no longer, I would say, the safe haven currency is no longer necessary. People are interested in their growth currencies. They're interested in the commodity currencies. We're getting a lot of short covering. Incidentally, I think probably a huge chunk of this month's rallies, including today's gains in stock markets, I think a huge chunk of that is due to short covering. But we also know that there's a lot of money on the sidelines, and that's capable of extending these rallies. Interesting times. Nice to see some gains back in the long-term portfolios. All the best.